Well, good to see you guys. If you have your Bibles with you, please open with me on the book of Habakkuk. If you know, where is it? If you don't, I'm not going to tell you. So if you would like to go there to the book of Habakkuk, and the plan is I'm going to read the first part of chapter 1, my favorite one. This one is my favorite. So I'm going to read it for you, and then I'm going to read the end of chapter 3, also my favorite. And between, you're going to read them for yourselves. No kidding. We're going to go through them. And then if you look into the first few verses here, the prophecy that Habakkuk, let me get to it. He said, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is a strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked him in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." These are the few verses that Habakkuk spoke in his book. And these are the few words that he spoke more like a way of complaining against God. He's like perplexed about the way that God was handling the situation at the close of the 7th century, in the days of Jehoiakim. And things were pretty bad in Israel. So now, if you would like to go to chapter 3 and the last verses of this chapter and hear what's said, he said, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crops fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Did you see the first part of the book? Habakkuk was upset, was confused, was unhappy of how God was handling the situation in Israel. I mean, after all, those were his people, you know, the covenant, the law of Moses, the temple, the promises, the blessings, all the stuff that was given. The people of God were not handled quite right by God. Habakkuk looked at him and said, "What's going on, God?" And he was a good guy of God, by the way. It's apparently from the way that Habakkuk wrote these words, we can't tell that he was in a good relationship with God, but he couldn't be happy about the way that God was handling this stuff. It's like, you know, a son or a daughter, when they think the father's not handling things well. When I was a kid, I always look at my father, "What do you do?" And you always say, "Shut up." Yeah. And I what? Here, and you come to the end of the book, and you find Habakkuk saying, "If the whole world fall apart, if there's nothing to eat, if I don't see anything good in this land, if it's darkness," that's the way that kind of his words were describing the world, "yet I will trust in the Lord." How he comes from this point where he was like completely confused over how God was managing his people to the point where he said, even if everything was falling apart, "yet God, I will be trusting in you." Let's look into this journey. And I would like to start my journey with Habakkuk, which I really struggled with him because he didn't fit my theology. And when he's not fitting our theology, what we do? We tear the book apart. Kidding. But here's what said. I'm not, Pastor, getting there. Oh, man, that's too much. Go back. Give me only the title. Okay, so I would like to call my message 3 J's. Now, who can guess what these 3 J's stand for? The J is initial. And now, if you can't tell me what these words stand for, there is a reward. Pastor Patrick gonna write you a check. Kidding. You look like what? I will give you everything in my pocket. What are these words stand for? 3 J's. Initials to 3 words. Those who saw my message before, don't say.
Justice.
Man, you're close. And? just this one, if you look into the book of Habakkuk, you would have got it. I mean, the main issue that Habakkuk was struggling with. Wow, you guys got in close. Justice? Judgment? Nah. There's no joy here. That may come later, but is not. Okay, keep it in mind. So, now, humanity screams, I would like to say very much, louder in time of crisis. In days like these, beautiful, you're sitting in your porch with iced tea in your hand, with your grill going on, you know, calm, nice, weekend, you would not be complaining, would you? You would not be saying anything. God, what about justice? God, what's about evil? You would not. You will be like, oh man, it's beautiful. I got to call some friends, call them over, have some food, you know, have some fun, relax, get a book, go watch TV, plan for something. Man, God, I love you. That is awesome. But when things are bad, like in the days of Habakkuk, I wouldn't think you will do such a thing. But if things are really bad, you would say probably, God, where are you? What is going on? A lot of Christians screaming pretty loud now in Baghdad. Just a couple of days ago, there was, 150 people died by explosive stuff. The ISIL put in they called it the province of Kut. It's a big truck. They put in the market. By the way, people were fasting. It was Ramadan. The last day of Ramadan. And people were fasting, they were hungry, they were out buying food and stuff. It's a market, local area. Everybody was there, children, women, men, and everyone. They put the truck, 30 minutes later, bam, exploded. 150 people was dead. 200 people wounded. And people were like, God, what is going on? What is this guy, what kind of a life that we are living today? Isn't it? When things really hit hard, we scream loud. Somebody gets sick. Seriously? Somebody gets a horrible thing? We were like, what's going on? Where is God? This is the way that Habakkuk was dealing with this issue. Habakkuk was a man who thought God is a God of justice. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of moral law. And he given these laws, and if they were not obeyed, he's going to apply his justice and he's going to judge his people. So Habakkuk, by the way, was upset saying, why don't you judge us? We're not doing okay. We're not following your rules. You have to hit us hard. And God said, you got it. I will come to this. But that's a clear concept wherever you go. I mean, it doesn't matter what's your background. It doesn't matter what kind of theology you hold. It doesn't matter what's your viewpoint about God. It doesn't matter what you think about the Bible. It doesn't matter what you think of a God or Godness. We all, as human beings, when things really hit hard, we scream loud. What's going on? And I hear a lot of screams coming up from Middle East. Almost every day I'm in touch with these people. A lot of screams coming here from the States as well. We're going through a lot of things. In Europe as well. So what's God's answer? What God has to say to Habakkuk? What God has to say to the people in Iraq? What God has to say to the people who were whose families were killed in the black church? What he has to say? In a Bible study, somebody gets in, bam! You're dead innocently. What God has to say about these things? What's going to be his answer? And before I get into that, you see in the Bible, it's a Bible, the word of God is a word of struggle. It's a humanity struggling with God. It's a humanity trying to understand God. Humanity trying to understand the existence of a human being. Humanity trying to understand why life is here. What is it? And I have never seen, I have never seen such an adequate, Such a correct viewpoint like the one that we have in Christianity that can answer whatever question we can ever think of in regard to humanity, in regard to suffering. Job, you think of Job? You think of Hosea? You think of Jonah? You think of Nahum? Whatever kind of struggle that we have in this world, whatever kind of struggle that other people have, we can have answers to him through the word of God. So have confidence in the word of God. And if you have the privilege to come across people who are suffering and who are saying like, I don't get it. I mean, what is this life? I don't get it. Is there a God? I don't get it. If there is a God, why he wouldn't do anything? You have the answers right away in the word of God, and you can't give it to them. So what's God's answer? Please, Patrick, just for the first one, which you guys brought it up, justice. Justice is inescapable. Look in the beginning of the book. Habakkuk said, like, I don't understand you. I mean, what is going on? And if you look into his words, he said, but you do not listen. I cry for help. You do not listen. You do not care, basically. And then he continued, he said, why do you make me look at injustice? You know what it means to living in a community when there is no injustice, you know? When there is no fair, you know, treatment to all people. He said, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate? You are okay with wrongdoing. And he continued, said, destruction? That's what the result of the lack of injustice. The result is what? He said, destruction and violence are before me. I see them every day. I witness them. And what else? He says, strife and conflict abounds. It's getting ugly and ugly by day. And he continues to say, therefore, the law, which is very important to keep any community healthy and in progress, he said, the law, what happened to it? Paralyzed. It's not working. There's no right and wrong. Do whatever you want. Have fun. It's like sweet water and Lassam Dove back in the days. Art loving. A community, sweet water, is a new thing called. There's a series of old cowboys. And there is no law. It's just you enter the city, and it's like everybody doing everything. And it's chaotic. He said, there is no, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked him and the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Even the justice is perverted. We have no trust in justice. We have no trust in moral law. We have no trust in an organized community. We have no trust in integrity. Do whatever you want. That's the situation that Habakkuk was seeing going on in his community. And the Babylonians were on their footsteps, looking ahead to come and conquer their land. So you see my point? When things really fall apart, you have no way just to go to God and say, what is going on? And here is what God said in verse 5. He said, look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. And he said in verse 7, I am raising up the Babylonians, the ruthless and impetuous people, who will sweep across the whole earth to seize the dwellings not their own. They are feared, dreaded people. They are a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They are coming, they all come intent on violence. Those were the Babylonians, my people, by the way, back in the days. Not today. We're a mess today. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings. They scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen rams, they capture them. And they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people, he said in the end, whose own strength is their God. Don't worry, Habakkuk, I got it. You're upset. I'm not doing anything about injustice in this country of yours. Justice is inescapable. It's coming to you. You got it, Habakkuk. Are you happy now? The Babylonians are coming. They're going to tear you apart. They're going to invade your country. They're going to hold you captives. And those are the Babylonians. If you look even in the way that God spoke his words, he likes the Babylonians. Good description, isn't it? He didn't say about them, he said, like this, these are the people. He's kind of like, look at them. They have all the quality of the strong people that I want to send to you to teach you a lesson, to tell you how much you are in trouble. The Babylonians are coming. Justice is inescapable. There is no way, Habakkuk, that I am not going to deal with these people. Justice is coming to all. Now, justice is quite a complicated topic. Don't you think? Justice? What is justice today? What about justice? I mean, you speak about justice and you have to speak about laws, right? Moral law. Or a code of law. You speak about a code of law and you speak about legislation, isn't it? You speak about legislation, you speak about legislators. People who come and write the law, right? And hold you accountable according to these laws. Who are the writers of the law today? Who has the qualification to write law today? A couple years ago, there was work on one of the roads in our neighborhood. So in order to get to my house, like everybody else in that neighborhood, you have to kind of, instead of making left, you make right and then make U-turn on your own and get to your house, okay? Everybody was doing the same. We did it for a couple weeks. Suddenly that day, I was heading back home from the Bible study, they have a sign saying no U-turn. It's forbidden. But it was night, so I didn't see it, okay? So I went my way, and like everybody else, I cannot make left. There's some kind of construction work. I made my right. I get to the road. I made my U-turn. I came back, and bam, this guy came after me. And I stopped like, what I've done? And he said, oh, there is a sign. Said, no U-turn. I said, I didn't see it. You just put it right now? I mean, it's like, what, now? It just. He said, well, I get a right to a ticket. And I don't know what it was, like $45 or so. And I told him, I just was feeling like, at that moment, it was unfair. I mean, you've been working here forever. Just finish it. Besides, you just put it there. I mean, give people some time to know there is a sign saying something that shouldn't happen. But he said, I don't understand. I'm like, it's unfair. Now, if you say unfair, you reject the ticket, you go to court, and you got it. 45, just get out of my face. Was it fair? I wasn't feeling it was fair. Who can't tell? Who is right? Who is wrong? Right? That's the kind of community. That's the kind of society. That's the kind of concept we have of justice, which is really important. It's really important. And you can feel it quite, strong when you are being treated unjustly. When you go to court and you have a law, or you have a case and you get rejected for it. When somebody step over your door and do something, and you cannot take your, it's like a lot of people. I heard when I went to Iraq, which is a whole different world of justice. A man killed his daughter and he got out of it. Nothing happened to him. He killed his daughter and he's walking on the street. What kind of justice is this? Right? And that's why Plato, if you look into the Greek history of this concept of justice, Plato and his Republic, I don't know if you're familiar with the Republic, but this is what he said. I don't want to bother you with it, but this is what he said. He said, justice is very important to be applied. It's an absolute. And he said, justice when everybody is doing their own job. Everybody is doing their own job. That's when we have justice. Russell, this is the philosopher, came in and he said, Plato is silly. How can we have justice? Because justice is subjective. It's just to get this chair, carry it, take this chair, go out and strike somebody. That's justice for me. Well, how will you do that? Because I didn't like him. It's subjective, it's personal, which means in Saudi Arabia, if you go today and you find four women living in one house for one man, that's injustice. Why? Because the culture decided it to be justice. That's fine. And according to Russell, we have no justice in this community. And according to Habakkuk, we're struggling with this idea of justice, that God has to implement justice. Otherwise, it's perverted. The law is paralyzed. There is no system. It's chaotic, basically. You do whatever you want to do. And God said in his word, justice is inescapable. It has to come. It has to be applied. It has to prevail. It has to be seen. It has to be understood. Why? And this is the ethic kind of the ethic argument or the morality argument to the existence of God. If we know there is something called evil, and we see it every day, that means there is something called good. If there is evil and good, there is moral law. If there is moral law, there has to be a moral lawgiver. If there is a moral lawgiver, who is it? Russell? It's subjective. You go to Saudi Arabia, you marry four women. You come to America, you marry one. You go to France, you can have a affair later from 7 to 5 or from 5 to 7. What is it? What is it? Can you help me out here? You go to Thailand, you live a whole different world of view. According to them, you can live in certain morality. Where's justice? What's wrong? What's right? It's chaotic, isn't it? Yet God said, there is justice is going to catch up, and it is inescapable. The second thing you see in the book of Habakkuk, Patrick, the same one. He said, not just justice is inescapable, judgment is inevitable, it's coming. There is no way around. Judgment is coming. And you see, he goes through the whole chapter, and he would describe the Babylonians as they were coming and invading that country and tear it apart. He said, that justice is going to be applied. And then you come to chapter 2 and said, Lord, when Habakkuk hears that the Lord is going to apply his justice in this way by allowing the Babylonians to come and invade the country, he was very upset and he said, how is this going to work? I don't understand your mindset, Lord. And he said, how, Lord, are you now, he's here kind of flattering God. Have you flattered God before when you need something from him? You know, God, you are great. You are awesome. It's like, you know, my girl sometimes, God, I love you. And I want something. So he's like, Lord, are you not from everlasting? God, your holy one, you will never die. The Lord have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallowed by those more righteous than themselves? And he goes on throughout the remaining of chapter 1 trying to tell God that this is not fair. Though we are evil people, the Israelites, but you are allowing people who are more evil than us to come and punish us? I mean, what's that? God, I'm not happy about the situation. Don't worry, I'm sending somebody to punish you, and this guy is worse than you. And Habakkuk like, what? God, are you not everlasting? Are you not pure? How can you tolerate evil? What do you think? You're doing something that is unacceptable. And then God said, and you come to the idea, he said, that this is what is going to happen. Judgment is inevitable. And those that I'm going to send, they are those who are going to implement my justice and to bring punishment to you. So do you see? I mean, if the whole idea of Habakkuk is like, why God would tolerate these kind of evil and wrongdoing things that are happening in our community, and God said, justice coming. But not only justice, which is said what is right and what's wrong, judgment as well in session. And it is going to catch up with you. And he mentioned the whole, and then after that, after Habakkuk bring all this turmoil and say, well, what you're doing, this is not fair, he would say, well, not just only you, but also the Babylonians are going to get punished by the same punishment. I will punish you through the Babylonians, yet I will punish the Babylonians. Why? Because you all are the same thing. You all have disobeyed me by one way or the other. You all have full apart. You all have full short of my glory. And you take this premise and you go to Romans and you see the Apostle Paul, the book of Romans is like another gospel, isn't it? It's more like, it's all about faith. It's about justification. It's about salvation. Through faith in whom? In Jesus Christ. He talks to the Romans. He talked to the Jews. And he laid the foundation of the gospel. And the first few books, 1 and 2, and to the end of chapter 3, he would say, you know what? You all have fallen short of the glory of God. You all have sinned. And that's why you all have to be punished. And he said, justice, this is what it is. You all knew it when you do something wrong. Whether you were a Gentile or you were an Israeli, when you do something wrong, you knew it deep in your heart that was wrong. Isn't it? And Paul goes throughout these few chapters till the beginning of chapter 4 trying to convince people that all of humanity, doesn't matter if you were a Jew or you were a Gentile, if you were an Iraqi or you were an American, or if you are a British, or you wear tie, it doesn't matter. You all have sinned. You all have done something wrong. And according to the law, to the law, that you have to be judged. And the wages of sin is death, isn't it? So this is what Habakkuk was struggling with the concept of justice, struggling with the concept of judgment, struggling with the concept that God is not doing anything about anything that he said within his laws that he gave through Moses and the prophets. What is going on? We're not seeing you, God, interacting with our dilemma. It's chaotic. It's unorganized. We're not sure about the future. We're not sure about our morality. We're not sure about our system is going to work or it's not. And you are not doing anything. And we look up to you to be able, the one who can implement all these things, which will bring system and bring integrity to our community. So justice is inescapable. There is no way around. Judgment is inevitable. Can we get this? I don't think so. Wherever I go, wherever, especially today, your life is up to you. Your viewpoint is up to you. You made it. But we look around and like there are, we can see rules. We can see laws that govern any community. And that's what brings us to the end, Patrick. Justification is necessary. And you look into chapter 2, and the law said, write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And you look into this chapter 2, and God speaks forever and ever, and he goes on. He said, this is what's going to happen. Justice is going to catch up with you. Judgment is coming through the Babylonians. Yet I will punish the Babylonians for their wickedness. And this is what's going to happen. And God goes through all these words, which very much the same thing that we know in our theology of the New Testament. And he would say a few things. For example, in verse 4, chapter 2, he said, but, though he said in verse 2, so the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, okay? Yet, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. That's what he said. And he keep going, and he said, indeed, wine betrays him. He's arrogant, never at rest, because he is greedy as the grave, like death is never satisfied. And he goes on describing the Babylonians, the punishment that is going to come upon them. But he goes all the way to verse 14. If you look into chapter 2, verse 14, he said, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. People will all come to know that there is justice. There is justification, there is judgment as well. And people will know right from wrong. And they will figure it out for themselves. And they will be sure that there is something called God who is going to punish all the people for all the things that they have done, which were not according to God's law. They were wrong. And as you come, the very interesting, in the end of chapter 2, he said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. All the earth be silent before him. And you look into the book of Romans, Paul laid the foundation that everyone who is living on this earth will be punished according to God's moral law, because we all have sinned. He comes in chapter 9 when he talks about the kingdom of Israel and the Gentiles. And he would say, and who are you, man, to question God? You find that in chapter 9 and verse 19 through 21. I said, who are you, you man, who is challenging God? I'm trying to understand everything about him. Who are you to question God? Can the clay ask the potter, why did you make me this way? He said, who are you? Yet God, in his appointed time, he allowed his people to come back. That's what he was telling about the Israelites. And he would talk in the same manner, let all the whole earth be silent. Like Habakkuk, I will do whatever I will do. And I will implement my justice and my judgment. And he goes on and on. But you come to the end or to the beginning of chapter 3. And chapter 3 starts with saying, Habakkuk is saying, Lord, I got it. You're great. You're awesome. And he gave all this beautiful song about the Lord and describe him. And he would say, your glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from the hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed him. And Lord, like, you got it. You're honest. And he takes the whole chapter, if you look at it, the whole chapter 3. Habakkuk, take it and describe the Lord, sing of the Lord. I say, you got it, God. It's all in your hand. You're awesome. And very interesting, if you look into the book of, or the theology of Habakkuk, when he comes to one of the verses, especially verse 16, he said, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. You see, guys? He said, like, I got it. You know what? I'm happy. Why? You're going to punish us. Fantastic, Lord. Not only that, I'm happy you're not only going to punish us, but you're going to punish those who are going to punish us, the Babylonians. Cool, Lord. I'm with you. Justice is going to be applied. Judgment is coming. Yet, justification is necessary after all that. And as if you come to the book of Romans, what Paul is doing? He's laying the foundation of that. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has to be judged. Everybody knows about their situation. And he comes to chapter 4, and he lays the foundation of justification and righteousness that comes through faith, through the story of Abraham. And then he comes to chapter 5, and later in verse 2, he said, now we have peace with God. Now we are justified through faith. We have peace with God. That's the end of it. It's a matter of a fact that I think I have done a lot of wrong things in my life. I think justice has to be applied for everyone, right? I think judgment is coming as consequences for our wrongdoing, right? You disobey the law, you pay a ticket, right? The more you disobey, the more you go to prison. The more you apply, the more you spend time in a prison. Don't pay, the taxpayer going to pay for your food there. Just kidding. But it is just about today, like we talk about, that's one of the absurdities of this world today. Illegal immigrants, okay? Illegal immigrants, is it right or wrong? Is it right or wrong? I cross the borders, you know, I made it here. I do my best, I get in here. You got to accept me. You are illegal immigrant, though, but you have nothing to do about. You cannot do anything about. I'm poor. It's a case, isn't it? Politicians are fighting over it, isn't it? Shall we allow illegal immigrants or shall we not? Shall we send them back to their countries or not? It's a problem. Not just in here, in Europe as well. You know, people make it from Somalia to Italy. They get sin through the sea. And once they put their feet in, you cannot do anything to them. It's over. People pay, $5,000, get to Australia. When they get to Australia, it's over. You cannot do nothing about it. Why? Because if you do anything about it, you're evil, you're a bad guy. What is it? I mean, what is wrong, what is right today? And who is wrong and who is right? Who is writing the laws? Who is giving them? What kind of qualification he has or she? I don't know. It's a mess, isn't it? Welcome to the world that we're living in. That's the world. The ISIL been killing thousands of people every day for so long, for 2 years. Have there anything done to them? And this is what Paul's trying to say. Habakkuk was struggling with this idea. And I'm glad Habakkuk didn't have satellite back then to see the whole thing. He was just looking into his town, into his city, like, what is going on? I don't understand. If he's today here, Habakkuk, he would have like, God, what? I can't believe it. It's awful. That's the reality. That's the fact. And Paul trying to say, well, that's who we are, human being. My daughter spilled water on the floor. I said, how dare you? Well, she's a kid. They spill water all the time. Not just water, everything. They spill on the floor. It took a while for me as an adult when I got married and have kids to understand they are kids. Like, how dare they do it? Well, they are kids. You know, they do these things. Children. I was like, I can't believe it. Like, it's the same thing. We're human beings. I was like, how dare he did such a thing? Humans? A little wacky? They do all kind of things. As once Jerry Seinfeld, I was watching one of his episodes, and he said, you know, it's very interesting that we have dogs, and dogs walk by, and we walk after them. We walk behind them, and when they poop, we get their poop, right? He said, if it's an alien watching from, you know, far away watching the, you know, you walk in with your thing and you take the poop from the ground. But he said, who's in charge here, the dog or the... Like you're, it's very wacky. That's humanity, but that's what we have. Though we are human beings, that the reality of it in the days of Habakkuk and the days of Paul, that we have sinned, we done wrong, all of us, and judgment to all. That's what's coming next, after justice. But that's what makes justification through faith in Jesus Christ absolutely necessary. Otherwise, we are doomed. We're done. Not just we're doomed and done eternally, worldwide, temporarily, we're done. There is no hope. There is no way where to go, what to do, what kind of a life we are living in. Right? So that's why Paul said we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why he said in here as well, he said, but the righteous lives by faith. The righteous lives by faith. And that's why it's crucial for us to understand justice, to understand why the minor prophets were struggling with all these kind of ideas. Jonah as well was like, you got to punish them. That's justice. And that's why we have the word was written to us to understand what it means to have justice, what it means to understand judgment, and what it means to know after these two things, we need to be justified. You know, the people, I heard that on radio, the people whose families were killed, loved one in the church, North Carolina. When they went to court, and they were in court, the guy who did the shooting was not in court. He was just listening on things. They were seeing him through video, I think, or audio. And they spoke to him crying. They said, you know what? We forgive you. I don't know if you heard that. It was on radio. And though this radio is secular, they were not promoting Christianity. But they said, this is what happened. They said, it's unfathomable. I mean, how in the world? The guy who said it, who was presenting, he said, look, these people are saying, we forgive you for killing our beloved. We forgive you. We wish you the best. And the guy who was doing the radio show, he said, I don't understand. He said, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I don't understand it. But these Christians did it because that's what their Lord told them. You forgive. Why? Because you are forgiven indeed. So at the end of the day, when we get through all this complex idea, we present justification, we present salvation, we present forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray about that. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that we have great foundation in this book, that the word that is written is not just a religious book, kind of a book that we read it, Lord, to understand some concept about how to pray or how to fast or how to feel good about our lives. But this book, Lord, is written to give us this foundation, this basis, Lord, to understand what it means to be human beings and what it means to struggle with righteousness or with wrongdoings, what it means to do something wrong, what it means to feel guilty, what it means to understand there is something called justice, and this justice is for all and upon all. What it means to know that there is punishment for those who have done something wrong, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the word that is written and the honesty of this word and the honesty of those who struggled with this kind of concept. And I pray, Lord, and I thank you for the salvation and justification that you have given us through Jesus Christ. I pray that we are able all the time to present a case for Jesus Christ and convince people of the importance and significance of believing in Jesus and being justified. We love you, we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.